is going on? I hope you guys are having an awesome Saturday. I hope you guys had fun on Friday night causing a ruckus and creating havoc wherever you were. I hope you got to enjoy some libations or whatever it is you like to enjoy on Friday night, because we have a restful weekend. I think we're going to have a tumultuous week. Everybody says go away in May. I do not think we are going to see that repeat. Why do I say that? I don't know, because I'm nuts. Do we say a range-bound Bitcoin, right, between $60,000 and $70,000 all the way until September? ApeCoin DAO has partnered with BWT doing some F1 driving in Miami, and I'm super stoked about that. DigiCask is bringing whiskey to the blockchain. What blockchain? It's only possible on Solana. We have Node Monkeys. They are leading the Bitcoin pack. And if you missed version one, no worries, because NFT Bank version two is here. If you are unaware of it, it is an interesting way to keep track of your NFT portfolio. And now they have some tax implications and some things all mixed in as tools for you to make better decisions and have a less stressful time when you are talking to your accountant. Chaos to clarity, noise to narrative. It is Saturday, May 4th, and it is time for some rare bits. Today, we have the Crypto Greed and Fear Index coming in at a 67. We are up 20 degrees back to greed from neutral. It is so glad that people decided the bull run is back in effect. Let me know your thoughts. Do you think the bull run is about to take off? Do you think we dip below $60,000 on the Bitcoin before continuing our upward trend? NFT sentiment, it remains neutral. The meter's broken, right? It does not move. Neutral is not a thing. It can't be neutral for the past year and a half. So somebody needs to look into that. Top crypto search term for the normies is Zeta Chain, ticker sign ZETA. It is up 39% on the 7-day when so much has been down. It is worth your look. We have Bitcoin dominance. It's up on the 24 hours. Ethereum dominance, it has slid down a bit. I am not even going to get into the NFT numbers because we are going to look at those charts in a second. But I will say, NFT land, everything is up. We are so back. We are so back. Crypto total market cap is about $2.26 trillion. That is an increase of about $40 billion while you slept. Were you playing the game in your sleep, longing and shorting things because people have been getting absolutely wrecked? And before we get into some more stuff, I want to look at some numbers for the nerds. And what I am actually going to do, we are currently looking at the mempool, which is absolutely awesome. One of my favorite things to look at. If you guys are unfamiliar with this, it is at bits.monospace.live. It is a digital Yule log. You can look at it all year long. It is one of my favorite things to look at. Next up, we are looking at the crypto heat map today. And as you can see, it is a mixture of green and red. Look at Dogecoin. It is just on a tear. Look at that deep dark green, up 16.27% on the 24 hours. What are you talking about? I'm going to flip over and look at the 1 hour map. So sentiment is changing, right? It's not all green and shoots and sails moving forward. What are we talking about? We are talking about Bitcoin coming in at 63,547. We are talking about Ethereum. Hold on, I am just trying to see what we got going. We're talking about Ethereum coming in at $3,124. BNB, $588. Do we recapture that $600 mark in my podcast? We have been charting that since about $300. It has been on a tear. And what is so interesting is it kind of regained its strength when CZ stepped down from the head of the company, right? The fault did clear sales moving forward. Now we have CZ. He's only going to prison for 4 months. To me, that is going to send a message to the people that possibly what he did is not that big of a deal. So any FUD that was surrounding that token or that coin or that ecosystem, I think will clearly dissipate quickly and wait till he gets out of prison. Not that he can do anything that has to do with crypto and trading probably ever again legally, but it will just send a message that he has created an empire, and I do not think it is going to stop anytime soon. We have Solana. It's at 146. What does that mean? It's up 0.2% on the hour. It's up 3% on the day, 6.5% on the week. Is that enough? No, because it's down 19.4% on the month. We will take, any movement we can get. Now, I want to look at the NFT ecosystem. As you can see today, Bitcoin is leading the pack, followed by Ethereum and Solana. Bitcoin has actually slid down about 13%. Ethereum's also slid down about 1%, and Solana's slid down about 1% also. Now, the initial reports I did were this morning at about 4:30 when I wake up, so the market has clearly decided to turn red. That is not alarming because it is Saturday. People are away from the computer. It's a different ballgame out here. You can see some of the top moving collections. We had a really nice CryptoPunk sale for about $194,000. Holy moly, just beautiful. Some of the other things that are important in the ecosystem, I am going to go directly into NFT land for the moment. And who's got that top spot now? It's usually held by Bored Apes. Azuki has just been kicking up some dust. They're trading at $17,000 right now, almost $18,000. That's about 5.67 Ethereum. Next up, we have Pudgy Penguins doing a ton of volume, followed by Mutants and Bored Apes rounding out the top five there. Let's click on some numbers. And you know what I'm actually going to do? I'm on the Coin360 heat map for Ethereum. And it is really nice just to go ahead and click over and look at it in list view so we can see who's up and who's down. So when we look at the top five movers, the only people that are down are Bored Apes and Mutant Ape. Now, that change is significant of volume. It is not necessarily floor price. So keep that in mind. We have the Yakuza Pandas. This is a new entrant to the ecosystem as far as I know. Nope, this looks like Kanpai Pandas. It must just be a different version of the Yakuza of the Pandas. It is nice to see D-Gods. They are not only on Ethereum, but we will see shortly that they are popping up on the Solana ecosystem as well. When we look at the top movers in the last day, as far as volume goes, we have Azuki, Mutant Ape Yacht Club, D-Gods, Bored Ape Yacht Club, and Pudgy Penguins rounding out the top five. Anything we want to double click on? Pudgies are down 2%. Azukis are down about 9.7%, but they've had about 344% increase in volume in the last 24 hours. So people are enjoying trading the Azukis at the moment. Now we have switched over and we are looking at the heat map for the Solana ecosystem. And it's interesting. We have Mad Lads. They have remained in that top left spot for quite some time. The new entrant on this ecosystem is D-Gods. I am happy they're here. How long do we think it is before D-Gods reclaims that actual top left-hand corner? I don't think it is going to be too far away. It is really interesting. D-Gods are currently up 12% on the 24 hours. When we switch over and look at the top movers, we are looking at Mall Street, D-Gods, SMB Gen 2, Utes, and these nodes rounding out the top five. The big movers is D-Gods. We also have kind of sliding in toward the bottom, Utes. So people are already starting to bridge their assets back over to the place where they belong, which is Solana. So there we are, Utes right there. So just a ton of volume. Awesome to see. Awesome to see. I am happy for the team, the ecosystem, and everybody involved. Looking at the top five movers on the Bitcoin ecosystem, we have Rune Pups, Blob, Bitcoin Puppets, Runestone, and Peepos rounding out the top five. Notable next up, we do have Node Monkeys and OMB rounding out our visibles. So Node Monkeys are trading about $22,500, while OMB is trading about $25,700. Next up, we are going to look at, and this is, really nice because this is one of Magic Eden's new tabs on the ecosystem, and it makes me really happy. They have added not only Polygon, but now they have base NFTs. So if you guys are farming Blast, doing any of these things, this is a much needed know about what is happening. So looking at the top five movers, we have Base Punks, On-Chain Gias, the Funk Yuka Pop. Well, all right. We have some interesting names on the Base ecosystem, and we are going to jump into why I have this pulled up here in a minute because we're going to talk about some of the things that people are doing to make a little extra income in the space. And it is dealing with airdrop farming and all of those things. So They also, I just wanted to comment on this as well. So these two new tabs, the base tab and the runes tab for Magic Eden, they both come out within the last couple of weeks. What's nice to see the runes tab is that the UX UI on this has just increased every day. It gets better and better, smoother and smoother for people to come in, look at and see what is going on. I am not going to touch on any of this stuff just because it is a can of worms at the moment. Next up, we are talking about different ways that people are farming stuff. So one of the things that people are doing is going to packmoon.io, and they are farming this on X platform to gain notoriety, bringing awareness to the Packmoon ecosystem and what they're doing. So by participating and tweeting Packmoon, you get rewarded points for helping them spread the word. Look at it like you are being a paid marketeer, which is not a bad thing. So once you get your airdrop stuff going, so if you guys remember, I was hacked not too long ago, and I decided one of the ways that I want to get back into the ecosystem, I had no money, I wanted to begin farming pack and just try and put out some tweets and try and get some notoriety. I was crushed by some of the other more creative, more influential people in the space, but I was able to accumulate about $2,458 in pack. So what do you do then? Well, I went over to Wasabi and I opened up a 3X long with my pack, and I am just going to sit and let this nurture and grow. So this Packmoon ecosystem is really interesting, and people are doing a lot of interactions. One is to get involved with the Wasabi ecosystem. Next up, there are a ton of games on the Blast ecosystem, and I am actually going to, I'm not going to pull up the Blast site because I'm just going to, I would just actually show you where the games are. But one of the games that people are playing is this YOLO Games, and it is interesting. You are basically throwing money away, but it is a dopamine hit, and you do have the opportunity to earn Blast Gold. I have been very unsuccessful in not only my YOLO spins, but my Moon or Doom. After you lose about two or three in a row, you just wonder, what am I doing with my money? So that is a question. There are a ton of people doing this stuff. There's 74 people watching this current game of YOLO spins. So you can enter with as little as 0.1 Ethereum. You throw it in, you spin the wheel, and the current bid on the table is 0.87. So for 0.1 you throw in, you could win 0.87. But you can see one of the holders in this, he has put in 0.69 Ethereum. So he is a large pot of the pool. If he does not, oh, we're all the way up to 2 ETH now. So he wants this bad. If he does not win this, he is going to be pissed. This is actually going to be fun to see. So this is either why you should do it or why you should not do it. We will see it in about 2 seconds. Bear with me. Bum, 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 bum. So he won. So he put in he put in 1.94 and he won 2.12. So he did win. It is risky. If he would have lost, holy moly, I can just see the chair going through the window. We'll watch one more spin real quick. So current pool is about $374. There are 7 players. It will hold up to 500. When this thing really gets going and there's a shit ton of people, it does get really exciting, because oftentimes we do see somebody walk away with a several ETH pool for 0.1 ETH entrant fee, and they are collecting gold along the way. Next thing I wanted to talk about is Blur. So with the Blast ecosystem, people are incorporating new tabs. So I have not been on Blur in a minute, but they have incorporated this new Blast tab right over here, which is what we're looking at now. So these are all of the NFTs that deal with the Blast ecosystem. Purchasing these, trading these also adds to your Blast points. So there are several of these collections, like the Blastopians, where you can actually stake these and triple and quadruple your rewards for participation in the ecosystem. So if you are gambling with your money, think about it, that there are some ways to do this where you are taking on less risk and you actually have an asset. And when you stake this asset, you're earning points from it. You will have something to sell at the end. So it is a smarter play than just gambling with a lot of this stuff. Next up, I wanted to talk about another thing that's kind of hit the airwaves that has really taken off. And this is called Fantasy.Top. And this is an interesting ecosystem. So there are different tournaments in play. And what you do is you start out, so currently to buy a starter pack, which has five cards in it, and they're random cards, it is about 0.29 Ethereum. And what is interesting about this is that when, When you do this, you're unsure of what you will get in that ecosystem, right? You have the ability to go buy some cheaper cards, which I'll show you now. If we go over to Marketplace, and obviously the higher cards. So the higher cards, we're talking 5 Ethereum, right? For these people that are super active on Twitter. But the other play is if you go down to price them low to high, you can enter this for 0.003003. So there are several ways to get in. And one of the ideas is that you can burn your cards to upgrade. So you could possibly buy 5 of these lower tier cards and burn them and receive a legendary card. So there are different ways to game this ecosystem. One, just go sign up. Fantasy.top. And if you're interested, you can use the code BeatBroker to get in there. Build your deck by buying card packs. You need 5 cards to start. Are you going to spend 0.28 or would you like to go buy low rung 0.002 or 0.003? I am opting for the cheaper method to get in and see if I even want to play this. Next, you begin building a winning deck. How do you do that? You focus on rarity and stars, prioritizing cards with higher rarity and stars. These cards have better point multipliers and increase your chances of winning. Engagement is obviously the key across this ecosystem. If you do purchase cards, I recommend DMing whoever's cards you purchase and just get up in their Twitter feed and just let them know it is time to get the ball rolling. Maybe you can initiate some activity. And then there's some interesting stuff coming up. So if you are looking at, for instance, we're on this marketplace, I'm looking at Eric Wall, BIP420. So will there be some play as Opcat and Udi and all of these people get into action? Has he been quiet because he's been building in the kitchen? These are all questions. Why are these cards priced so low? What is your strategy to get in? Obviously, you want to upgrade your cards. Leveling up is the way that you're going to boost their rarity and performance. Next up, you have to adapt to the different tournaments. There are different tournaments, and you want to build different deck types to optimize your strategy for each of the tournaments. Let's go over and look at the tournament play right now. So, Flash Tournament, what does this say? Okay, so common cards, rare cards, epic cards, legendary cards. So these are all of the individuals who are going to be in this tournament. And the analytics, I do not understand how the tournament actually works. I do know that keeping an eye on the trends in Twitter are going to help you predict what might be useful to own in your collection. I am going to delve into this today, and I just wanted to kind of show you guys what I was looking at as far as just some shit that people are talking about in the space. I think it's interesting. And these narratives, right? These narratives are all just different ways that people are getting into this ecosystem. And I think it's really interesting. We're watching different layers, different blockchains pop up. We're watching a bunch of different things kind of get put into the ecosystem one by one. We're seeing what gains traction. Again, we just saw another YOLO win. Somebody just, the max bidder took away the prize. So good for them, good for them. All right, I wanted to get you guys into some news that caught my eye. Next up, we have ApeCoin DAO and BWT. They are an Alpine One F1 racing team, and they are going to partner up. Why is this important? It's only important to me because it's happening in Miami, and I think it is going to be really interesting to see the two combined. In my Substack today, there are some pictures of the car with the ApeCoin logo, and I think it is fantastical to see just the bridge over anytime we get Web 2 into Web 3 spotlight. And when you think about it, probably the two number one drivers to do this are going to be race car driving and fighting, right? UFC, bare knuckle brawl, whatever it is, which is the fastest growing sport in the world, and F1 driving, just because I think it's an interesting ecosystem to tap into. Next up, I think this all matters because it is going to help increase ApeCoin's visibility across everywhere, right? We need ApeCoin to do something absolutely quick. Next up, we have Whiskey. It is going digital. It is doing it on the Solana blockchain. What does that mean? There's a company called DigiCask, and they are tokenizing whiskey barrels. It's all happening on Solana. This allows fractional ownership of very, very expensive whiskey. Whiskey is a very lucrative endeavor if you aren't familiar with it. So being able to get involved with the production of whiskey is very appealing, especially if you can do it in a tokenized version. It reminds me, I think years ago, I purchased a Maker's Mark barrel, and you put money in and they stamp your name on the barrel, and I think it ages for about 3 years, and they turn the barrel and they send you an email every time they turn and do all this stuff. And then they send you the first bottle out of the barrel with special wax on it. I'm a huge Maker's Mark bourbon fan. So just this type of interaction with fans are really neat. And when you think about tokenizing this industry, giving people an opportunity to get in where they might not have otherwise had a chance, is a really interesting narrative. And to do it with stuff you love is great. And everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people like a good glass of whiskey. So I'm a fan of it. We also have people doing this with wine and other things in the liquor industry. So all these things are wonderful to see. Next up on the list, we have No Monkeys. They are outpacing CryptoPunks in NFT sales. Did you think that would ever happen? So it brings up this interesting point. So one of the things that I find marvelous about this space is just this movement toward this omni-chain narrative, where the end user is not going to care what chain it's on. They're really not. The nerds will. The early adapters will. The people in the future, if it's authentic, that's what they're going to want to know. Is it provable? Is it authentic? Is it easy for me to buy, sell, trade, hold on to? Those are the UX, UI narratives that need to address onboarding the next billion people. If it is not doing that, we are missing the point. So we look at Node Monkeys just outpacing the CryptoPunks. Is this because they're on Bitcoin, right? There is this narrative where we just saw DGods and Utes take a wormhole trip back to their birthplace, which is Solana. We are moving toward this omni-chain idea, and whether it's gaming that will progress this or it's RWA's real world assets as we tokenize things, whatever the narrative is that pushes this idea forward that things belong on the blockchain, we will get to the point where most things live on the blockchain because it's authentic and provable. What blockchain it is irrelevant. When as technology increases, two things happen. One, the user experience gets better, but in that happening, the backend stuff becomes more complicated. And the end user begins to care less and less about how the magic happens. We are so early in this space that we are part of the magic. We are these companies that are paying you to airdrop farm. We are part of their magic. We are part of their UX UI initiative to make the system better, have better outreach, run more efficiently. They do this by getting users onto the platform. So as these things kind of come down the pike and we get into this world, especially driven by gaming, we're tokenization. We want to take our assets anywhere. We want to gamble wherever we want to gamble. We want to enjoy games however we want to enjoy them. A mild example might even just be the difference between PlayStation and Nintendo. right? And originally there were some game differences where you could only buy certain titles on certain ecosystems. Now they've kind of put that by the wayside because they see the bigger audience is the better audience. So as we get into that narrative with crypto, I think some neat things are going to happen. It all is based around the UX and the UI becoming pristine, and it is clunky and cumbersome right now. And when we talk about things going omni-chain, I mentioned this in my podcast a couple of weeks ago, Bored Ape Yacht Club, they found some stagnation. They've seemed to have rekindled some heat by releasing the 3D models, which I think is absolutely brilliant. It's wonderful to see people's creativity flourish with these new assets. I think there are probably a bunch of people who have decided to start in on Blender and learning how to do 3D rendering. So I think these things are brilliant. What I think would be really interesting is, when does Bored Ape go omnichain? When can you port your Bored Ape to Solana? And that is not a stupid thing, right? People say it's ridiculous. It is not. When can you port something to Bitcoin, and whether it stays, you know, like there's an interesting narrative. Do you have to burn it to put it on Bitcoin? When it's on Bitcoin, do you lose the ability for it now to be omni-chain available in the future? So these are some interesting things, but removing Bitcoin from the ecosystem, people want to put things on Aptos, Sui, HBAR, Solana, Ethereum, Blast. It doesn't matter where you want to put it. You should have the choice. It's your asset. Where it is birthed, it used to make a difference. I think we will get to a point where that will become technical jargon that no longer interests the future buyer, right? That's old clunky stuff under the hood. They don't want to work under the hood. They are going to arrive in this ecosystem without a toolbox, without knowledge on what to do if they open the hood. We are so early in this ecosystem. We understand what bridging is. We understand what different things in this DeFi ecosystem are and how to maneuver funds around, how to do things that I think in the future people will not understand how to do, nor should they. They should be able to push a button in their wallet and the transaction happens. We know how to do things because we are the users that are making the experience better for the next group of people. So always keep that in mind when you're in this ecosystem. And it's also a great way for these companies to get users on board. You used to have to do marketing and ad campaigns and bullshit people into trying out shit. Now they're just giving you money. Say, look, we need users. Come use this shit. So it's, I think it's a really smart way to progress forward. What I also think is interesting just about the NFT space right now is just seeing the Node Monkeys overtake the CryptoPunks as far as floor price goes, as far as sales volume goes. It just lets me know that NFTs are by no means dead. Okay. I talked about this in the beginning. NFT Bank, they just upgraded their platform. They had version one out for a while. I'm not going to say it was clunky, but they've made upgrades to it, which make it really impressive. It is going to be easier for people to track and manage their growing NFT collections. Then they have also added a separate button that lets you do all of your tax work as you're maneuvering through this ecosystem, because it can get very complicated. It is nice to see this version 2 pop out. We have analysis. They are talking about Shiba Inu. And I have a friend who loves this. He's holding it. He's a longtime holder. And my thought process is, we are moving into this pivotal moment where if we do not break some of these ceilings that we're at, it could decline and it could go down for a number of reasons. And if it does, how do we breathe life back into those sales? So when would be a good time, if you are a Shiba holder, to take your assets out of Shiba and trade them in for something else? And if you were going to do that, what would you do? So my friend is a normie, and I am going to be talking to him later today about trading the Shiba Inu in for some Dogecoin, which I think is going to continue to tear up toward a dollar over this next cycle. Even though we are going to move through summer, I think people say go away in May. I think we are going to see a new paradigm. I think the change that the SEC funneled in, the interest as it grows, I think people will spend the summer educating themselves about cryptocurrency. And I think sometimes in the winter and in the busier parts of the year, people don't have time for that. While people are relaxing and resting over the summer holiday, I do think people are going to be diving into crypto and what the world means. So then you have to take into account we have elections coming up, and there's going to be a bunch of other narratives that may come into play that push the idea that embarking upon your crypto journey, as far as your knowledge, it's a good time to do this now. Next up, we have some big options. So in the options market, people that are playing this market with leverage, it can just absolutely wreck people. On May 3rd, which is, right? So May 3rd, that was yesterday. We just saw Bitcoin and Ethereum contracts expire. People lost about $2.4 million at the stroke of midnight. So, wow. Why does this matter? So with all of the leverage trading, people are going to do what they do, and God love you. Why does it matter? Because when we get to these expirations, or we get to these numbers where people get liquidated, it causes extra volatility in the market. And sometimes you'll wake up in the morning. I mean, we saw Bitcoin do a $5,000 move within 24 hours. So that volatility, if you're new to this space, can be absolutely overwhelming. So some of the things that cause this volatility are things just like that. Next up, we have CarrotSwap Testnet. They are attracting a large user base. CarrotSwap is a decentralized exchange. The Testnet campaign, it is on the NeoX blockchain. It attracted about 25,000 participants. They have been heavily rewarded for their participation. Again, think of it, if you are a developer, designer, project manager, product designer, how awesome to see if your machine works. Put people in it. What a, to have 25,000 people come and use this ecosystem. And then for the friction, right? In this space, I think we talk about a lot that friction is good because it rewards you. That friction, that is the devs and the developers and the UX designers, UI designers, learning the sticking points of their programming. And it gives them a ton of feedback and insight on how to make things better. It lets them reiterate quicker than ever possible before. So the fact that these companies are pushing out these narratives to get people on their platform, I find it absolutely brilliant. I really do. Absolutely brilliant. Next up, we have an NFT market. It shows signs of recovery across the board. I kind of wrote this morning. Again, this morning when I woke up, everything was pumping. ETH was up 28%. Bitcoin was up 14%. And Solana was up about 18% as far as NFT volume goes for the 24 hours. It kind of resets every hour. So it is about 148 EDT in Miami on Saturday. So when I woke up this morning, the numbers were different, which is just, again, it just goes to show you how volatile this system is. And if you guys are not familiar, here is another right ecosystem that generously rewarded its participants. The Saga ecosystem, it has been rewarding crypto stakers with crypto and NFTs. It is a blockchain. It is based around gaming. If you are a gaming creator, do yourself a favor and look into what Saga is doing. The initiatives, the underlying pulls they have for you to come develop on their blockchain sometimes speak in volumes. These are amazing, wonderful things. Because it's new, should not be scary. It should not alarm you. It also points out one of the interesting things, that it is really dangerous to become a maxi in this space because you will miss stuff. There is so much neat stuff that is happening in this ecosystem. There are so many brilliant people that are pushing forward narratives that make a ton of sense, and they're doing it to deliver a better experience to the end user, right? So seeing this stuff play out is really neat. Saga is somebody that is absolutely taking care of the people who decided to stake on their platform. Just figuring out different ways to incentivize people to use your platform and bring in liquidity. It oils the machine. It lets the devs and lets everybody experience what it will be like when it is actually up and running. All this stuff makes me super happy. And I don't know, just being able to try new features and do all of these things, I think is a really brilliant gift that we are giving people. It's not a gift. I mean, they're taking advantage of it, and we are also taking advantage of it by getting paid handsomely to utilize these platforms. And that is what I have for today. The secret sauce for today is everything seems to be under control. You're not going fast enough. Boom! Remember, the rabbit hole runs deep. Still craving crypto clarity? Please subscribe to my Substack today. I put it out every single morning by 7 a.m. On the weekend, sometimes it's out by 8, but I put it out every single day, rain or shine. Warning! Rare bets may cause hodling.